Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today it is going to be me, myself, and you, and you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour. The telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. I wanted to start off with a thought this morning, and this was stated by a very famous man, and I thought it's very relevant to today because so many of us have a challenge with money, and there is such a fear about not having enough. And I think it's a very natural type of experience when you've gone through hard times. How many of you have ever known anyone that's come through the Depression? Well, this is a statement made by Henry Ford. Now, someone might say, well, my goodness, he was such a wealthy man, but not always. But this is a statement he made that I think is just as valid today as it ever has been. This is what he said. Many persons think by hoarding money, they're gaining safety for themselves. If money is your only hope for independence, you'll never have it. The only real security that a man can have in this world, or woman, is a reserve of knowledge, experience, and ability. Without these qualities, money is practically useless. The security even of money depends on knowledge, experience, and ability. If productive ideas are displaced by destructive ideas, economic life suffers. That last sentence was very significant to me. If productive ideas are displaced by destructive ideas, economic life suffers. And this I have seen happen in so many ways. And I'll give you an example. I once knew a woman who, along with her husband, were in a very difficult situation. In fact, to survive, and I hadn't known this. I learned about this after they had gotten through this phase. They were so poor, they were robbing garbage dumps of grocery stores. Now, when they were in this particular patterning of their life, they became aware of something. And that was, number one, they could be resourceful. In other words, instead of looking upon themselves as being really poor, they said, all right, what can we take from this environment? And what can we utilize from this? Well, she found that she was able to, one, find fresh food. Now, this was at a time when you were allowed, when you could actually go into the dumpsters behind the grocery stores. They don't, in the state of Washington. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. But this is what they did. They would go through and they would find food, and then they were able to share it with other people. But also, she said, I learned that you can really get along without a whole bunch. But at the same time, she and her husband would have these conversations and say, all right, we can exist like this, but what can we do to make things better? And making things better meant they didn't have to dig through the garbage, but also to be able to look at life without a sense of fear. Because the wife and the husband both had gotten into a patterning of complaining so much about life, complaining about how much was bad, resenting money, resenting affluence. And they had an aha. They said, really, money in and of itself doesn't mean very much. It's what you can do with it. I mean, for heaven's sakes, if you tried to eat the silly stuff, it probably would poison you. The reality is it's a medium of exchange. That is what it is. And it's a convenient medium of exchange. So this is something that goes way back to bartering and other forms of exchange that people used for years. Personally, I prefer the dollar bill over the cow. But the reality is that we need to realize we don't need to live with an attitude of scarcity. This woman and her husband ended up developing a business, and this woman was a phenomenal salesperson. But you know what she found she had to sell herself on first? Is that life was abundant. That is something she had to come into an awakening towards. And if you've ever known anybody that's really gone through very, very tough times, maybe like Haiti, where everything was taken away from them, or even like the people in New Jersey, they got hit with a storm, in New York, I mean, New Orleans, it doesn't make any difference. India, look at what's happening in India today with the floods. It doesn't make any difference where it's happening. A lot of it is, how do we take what we are in? How do we take the circumstances we're in and create something that is going to bring benefit? And this is what Henry Ford was able to understand and to utilize that enabled him to eventually become one of the wealthiest men in the United States. Now, one of the things that he did that a lot of people don't want to pay attention to, not only did he incorporate the assembly line, which he was not the inventor of. There was an individual that had invented the assembly line before he did. However, he utilized it very effectively and well. The next thing that he did that was utterly outstanding, because he wanted to build an automobile that was going to be purchased by everyone, he paid his employees handsomely so that they could afford to buy a car of their own and take care of their families as well. You see, so many times in different environments, we think that maybe by shaving things away or cutting back. I heard of a billion-dollar company, I mean a multi-million dollar, that's actually, they've got over $1 billion in orders are waiting, and yet they've got this huge layoff that they've put on. It doesn't make sense. You say, okay, how could this company think a little differently about their workers? And this is what we're evolving into. We're evolving into an understanding of not throwing things away. But it's very hard to get rid of attitudes, to know how to shift them. Well, I'll tell you, I learned about a shift. It's not anything new. It's just sort of going around full circle. And it's called the social entrepreneur. And it's marvelous. And what is it? Well, it has to do with a man who has started a company, and he's had it for a while, called Tom's Shoes. I think you've heard about him. Maybe not. This guy, for every pair of shoes that he sells, he donates a pair of shoes for children. And I happened to watch, and I'll give you more information on this after a while, but I happened to watch a video where former President Clinton interviewed him. And this is a social entrepreneur. He put enough in his margin so he can make that extra pair of shoes and donate them. His company is growing exponentially. Someone, a friend of mine that I was visiting with last night, that was telling me about this social entrepreneurship, mentioned how they were sitting and having dinner in a restaurant, and the waitress happened to start chatting with them. You know how that goes when you're having something to eat, and you get to know the waitress, you chat, and go back, or the waiter. And he asked if she knew anything about Tom's Shoes. And she said, oh, I love it. I have a pair myself. I just love their shoes. Well, what she also loves is the fact that when she buys those shoes, there is a child somewhere in the world that's going to get a pair of shoes to cover their feet. Now, this may not seem like a lot. It may not seem significant, but it really is. Why? Because people want to make a difference. People want to know more than ever today that what they're putting their money into is really supporting something valid. We're becoming conscious that we have to take care of our environment. We have to take care of our environment because if we don't, we poison ourselves. And look at how many health problems people are having today that were not major health problems even 20 years ago. So we human beings were very adaptable. We have the capability of improving things. And sometimes when we improve, we create a disruption. That disruption, if it's managed wisely, enhances life. It doesn't create a destructive positioning. So unlike our ancestors of the past, we're becoming more and more consciously thoughtful about, is this really going to benefit our environment? Could this, if it were released into the water, could it affect an animal? Could it affect the plants that we eat? That's one of the reasons why genetically modified food, where they're actually installing the pesticides into the seed itself, is creating such an uproar by so many individuals that have found out about this. Because we're ingesting it. And that is something that goes into our system. If a plant has a toxicity to it, you're going to, when you eat it, vegan, vegetarian, meat eater, I don't care, it's going to affect you. This is something we're becoming, again, more mindful of. Water can contain arsenic. It can be a natural process. The arsenic will come off of rocks. So we test our waters to find what we've got in them. A lot of areas have discontinued using fluoride because it's something that they have found that is detrimental. Where they thought it was very healthful, now we have enough research to know that it is not something you want in your water. All of these things come about because someone's asking questions, someone wants to know, and what we want to go forward with is understanding productive ideas, wisdom, knowledge, experience, being willing to shift and change with understanding, not doing it just to make a change, but to really understand why change is viable, really can help us clean up a lot of stuff that maybe we have not wanted to see evolve as it has. But, you know, life is an interesting school. We often have things affect us so that we do wake up. Lots of times we're sleepwalking through life. Have you ever noticed that? This is Donna Sebo. This is an open mic day, and you are more than welcome to give me a call at any time. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, people like to play mind games, and there is this one joke from a genius that I came across, and I just thought, oh, yes, this is someone that really worked this one out. So I'm going to share it with you. But also, I wanted to talk to you for a moment about Lee Cronin. He's the Gardner Professor of Chemistry in the School of Chemistry at the University of Glasgow, Scotland. And he is really wanting to focus on understanding complex chemistry, because he wants to engineer new systems in medicine, also biofuels, and technology. Chemistry is phenomenal. I'm not of a chemistry mentality, but it is what makes everything in life move, and it's what we are coming to understand in medicine. If we don't understand chemistry, why this interacts with that, and how this can be toxic, and this can be beneficial, and how we're all unique as individuals, well, we just keep going around in circles of ignorance. Now, one of the things that he's working on at this time is using 3D printers to print molecules, which may one day mean the ability to print medicines cheaply and conveniently in your own home. Wow. Can you imagine that? It's just phenomenal. Printing out medicines in your own home. Now, you can go to TED Talk and at TED.com, and you can find out about him. He's quite an interesting man. But this one I really got a kick out of. It says, so three bacteria walk into a bar. A native bacterium, a genetically modified bacterium, and an inorganic minimal cell. Now, after a few whiskeys, the native bacterium starts complaining about his therapy. It seems his shrink called him paranoid because he thought humans were trying to wipe him and his family off the face of the earth. Next, the genetically modified bacterium chimes in. His shrink called him superficial due to the brainwashing he had received at artificial DNA school. That's nothing, the inorganic bacterium says. My therapist told me inorganic stuff cannot be alive, according to this guy. I don't actually exist. It's all perspective, isn't it? All perspective. I wanted to share a healing story with you today about a soldier and a cat. I've shared a number of stories about dogs and soldiers and how so many of them now have been able to bring their dogs home with them. They've been able to bring them back to the U.S. when their tour of duty is finished. Well, this is about a cat. And her name was Kashka. Now, this is taking place in southern Afghanistan. A sergeant, Jesse Knott, was in a combat outpost when he sees this little itsy-bitsy little ball of fur limping, coming towards him. Now, there's not a whole lot at these the combat outposts to look at. And here's this little person. Now, this sergeant is from Oregon. And when you're a soldier and you are out in such almost an abusive environment, weather-wise and otherwise, you really have to mentally get yourself into what is combat mode mentality. But he saw this little tiny critter. Picks up this little thing, just fits right in his hand. It's a baby, just a little baby kitten, and its paw is bleeding. That's why it's limping. Now, of course, he had no idea how the kitty got injured, and he started talking to this little kitten, saying, this isn't where you belong. This is a war zone. You don't belong here. Well, guess what? It's against regulations to have animals. Mm-hmm. Yes. However, he took this baby kitten over to his quarters anyway and very, very carefully nursed this beautiful little person back to health. Now, the kitten, as it was feeling better, obviously became very playful. And whenever Sergeant Jesse came back from his patrols, who now had been named Kashka, that means cat in Russian. Well, the kitten just changed his whole mood. Let's face it, being a soldier is not something exciting. There's a lot of monotony, and there's the threat of, bombs going off, all of this stuff that's happening. Here's this little tiny fur person that just brings life into the end of his day. Well, he started sending emails, Sergeant Jesse did, to his family, and would tell the stories about what the baby kitten was doing and what was happening and all of its various antics. Well, the family was really pleased to hear that there was this kind of distraction for their son because they knew how oppressive his military environment was. Well, what occurred that made this animal even more special to Sergeant Jesse is that a suicide bomber took the lives of two of his fellow soldiers. And when that happened, it devastated him. It really hit him very hard. He was in such deep grief over the loss of his two friends, and he was crying, that this kitten jumped up on his desk and kept bumping him in the head until Jesse picked up the kitten. Then the kitten did something special. The kitten put its paw out and just like, I'm here, you're not alone, and looked directly into Jesse's eyes, got Jesse's attention. And Jesse said it was like a communication going on between him and this little kitten. The animal knew that he was in a lot of pain and was communicating with him, it's going to be all right. And he said, I don't know how I would have made it through that first night after my two friends had been killed. Well, he knew eventually his time in Afghanistan was going to be over, and he was, according to regulations, going to have to leave the animal behind. He started doing some research because some soldiers had been able to take the animals that they had acquired while they were overseas home with them. But the cost was prohibitive. It was $3,000. So he emailed his family and said, I just don't know what to do. I don't want to leave this cat here. This cat just means so much to me. Kashka is very special. And his mom said, don't worry about the cost. We'll do something. You just take care of yourself. You just stay safe. Now, he had a big challenge in front of him because to get Kashka out, he had to get her all across hundreds of miles of very, very dangerous terrain. He had to get the animal to Kabul. He couldn't go, and military convoys were prohibited from transporting animals. However, miracles do happen. There was a local interpreter who agreed to drive the cat himself across the area needed, and they got Kashka on a plane. Two flights, a trip of 7,000 miles, and Kashka landed here in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon. His mom was able to pick him up, and what happened is they let Jesse know that his beloved fur friend was safe and sound. And by golly, when he got home, do you know, this cat did the very same action with him that had been done on at the night of his friend's death. Head bumps. That's right. He butt Kashka, butted Jesse in the head, and let him know that he was happy. They were back together again. Now, Jesse, by the Oregon Humane Society, was honored. They gave the Diamond Collar Award for saving Kasha's life. Now, he's up in Seattle now, and he said, this cat, and I've got a picture of him with this beautiful, beautiful cat in front of me, and he said, this cat saved my life. Saved me in so many ways because of just being who it was and just being a loving creature. He said, I guess in a way we saved each other, which I thought was quite lovely. So I wanted to share that with you. Animals have a profound influence on us, and I think it's so important for us to be aware of the fact that they make a difference. Because they bring, I think, a leveling aspect into life. And I know my little Scotty Victor, if my husband or I am just not feeling up to par, we're agitated, he always wants to be close. It's like he says, just know, I'm here. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. And I've known so many other people whose animals have related to them in that very special way. And, you know, if you have a special animal story, I'd love it if you'd send it to me. Because I think it's important that we understand that there is a sharing and a relationship that we have with these living creatures that are on the planet with us. And I think it's very, very special. By the way, I've been getting scolded by crows in my backyard recently. They are accustomed to occasionally getting treats, and I've been notified by those in my local backyard that I'm supposed to put some more stuff out. Crows are extremely intelligent. Do you know that they did research on them? In fact, it was out here at the University of Washington here in the Pacific Northwest, And they found that crows recognize people. They know who you are. You can even change, you know, put a hat on your head, whatever. They know who you are. They literally will track you. And they're extremely intelligent. Well, in the wild, it was discovered that with crows, if wolves are hunting, then they can't find anything. Crows will let them know if there's a kill, and the wolves will follow the crows and go out to wherever the kill is. And one of the reasons this symbiotic relationship developed is that the crows cannot break bones. The wolves can. And then the crows eat the marrow of the bones. Fascinating stuff. That was learned not all that long ago by a couple that actually was, they were on a trip into some very intense wildlife areas in Canada, and they did that research and they found out about it. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. Fire spooks, I've got some information on that. I'm going to be talking about growing organs in a lab. Also, how important it is, nutrition and the aspect of zinc and how that can make a difference of your life, in your life. All of that and more is going to be coming up. But before I go, I know we're going to be taking a break in just a little bit. I wanted to talk to you about organic food. There is some information that crossed my desk that I thought was worth sharing because all of us are becoming more and more aware, like I said earlier, about how we've got to take care of ourselves and that pesticides are not something we really want to be ingesting. Now, this is something you need to know. All natural on a label with food really doesn't mean very much. Why? The FDA is not regulating products claiming they're all natural or 100% natural, but foods labeled organic must adhere to strict standards, including no use of synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, antibiotics, and GMOs. Yes. So all natural isn't, well, it doesn't mean anything. Also, the word organic doesn't mean 100% organic. Unless the label says 100% organic, any item needs only 95% of its ingredients to be organic to earn the USDA organic seal. Also, some ingredients like sausage casings and celery powder are exempt from the USDA requirement because they are too difficult to source organically. And if you don't know what sausage casings are, those are the intestines of an animal. Well, it's been used for millennia, so it's not going to hurt you. But the thing is, they do have to be processed in a certain way. And organic doesn't necessarily mean superfood. They will cut your level to, you know, pesticide exposure by a third. However, they can still be contaminated by synthetic agricultural chemicals in the soil or during warehousing. Did you know that? I didn't. I know in Hawaii, and there was someone that I knew that had an organic macadamia farm. In the Hawaiian Islands, they really have very, very strict rulings from what I have been told, and that is like with this macadamia tree farm, it was 7 years before they could claim that those macadamia trees were totally organic. In other words, they could not have used pesticides for those 7 years at all. And there were certain things, regulations, that had to be imposed. And I thought, this is quite interesting. So there's a whole new world of understanding that is evolving because of understanding chemistry and being aware of what the industries are doing. Also, I had to chuckle when they said, organic junk food is still junk food. I don't think that takes too much in the brain department. But any cookies, candy, and chips can have excess fat, sugar, and calories. Organic ones merely lack artificial ingredients. And I don't think you have to be brain dead to be told that, but who knows? And also, look for produce stickers with 5-digit codes that begin with the letter 9. That means that the food is organic, and those starting with a 4, not a letter 9, the number 9. Boy, my brain and mouth are not going together very well. Means the food is organic, and those starting with a 4 indicate the food was likely treated chemically with herbicides, pesticides, or both. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Do you ever look at that little label that's stuck on every piece of fruit? Check it out. If it's a 9, no pesticides. If it's a 4, it has been treated, even if it has an organic label. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We're going to be right back.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener or would like to call into the show, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, let me just chat with you and tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of concern to you. This is an open mic day. So again, 888-627-6008. Have you ever heard of fire spooks? I hadn't. Of course, I like the bizarre and the unusual. And there are so many things in life that we're really not able to understand. Well, I've got two reports that take place that is documented. There's probably more, but these are the only two that I'm aware of. Now, we're going to step back into the 1800s. We're going to go back to August the 7th, 1887. And this occurred in Woodstock, New Brunswick. Now, this is what was going on. Fires were bursting forth spontaneously in a two-story frame home of a gentleman by the name of Reginald. Now, Reginald shared his home with his wife, 4 children, and 2 nieces. Now, you can imagine, you have fire in your house. This is going to create pandemonium. Right? Right. This is what happened. Unbelievable. At least 40 self-igniting fires within 24 hours kept this family racing through their home with buckets of water. They were constantly dousing flames that shot out from various smoldering items. These were some of the items. A high curtain, a bedroom quilt, basket of clothes, a child's dress hanging from a hook, a feather bed, a straw mattress. Now, in one of the reports that was done on this, a carpet-covered lounge was found to be all on fire underneath along the jute stretched above the springs. Said it was only the family's vigilance that kept the entire house and the surrounding buildings from burning down. This is really weird. So, they saved the house, they saved the environment. But why would this spontaneous combustion occur in all of these different items? Why? Not logical. Let's step forward in time to 1948. Again, August the 7th. Same date. There was a farmhouse owned by Charles Wiley, and it was located in Macomb, Illinois. And this is what happened to them. They saw the beginning of over 200 self-igniting fires in 1 week. Amazing. These hot spots started appearing. They first emerged on their front porch and then moved inside the house. The family could not understand what was going on. They were so concerned, they went to the extreme of stripping the wallpaper off the wall. Didn't make any difference. This is what ignited. Curtains, an ironing board, an entire bed caught fire. All at once. They put buckets and pots of water throughout their house because if it was needed, they wanted to be able to have access to it right away. Eventually, this combustion, there were so many little fires all throughout the house, they couldn't save the house. It burned down. In the following days, two barns, a milk house, and a chicken house also went up in flames. There was a fire chief. His name was Fred Wilson. And when all of this was going on, and he and his team were seeing things like this happening, they said, it's so strange. It's unbelievable. He called it screwy and fantastic. There were statements made by people, by at least 12 different people, and these were not fly-by-night individuals. They saw strange brown spots smolder suddenly on the walls and ceilings of the home and then burst into flames. So they were actually watching these smoldering spots. Very strange. They still haven't figured it out. Fortunately, those situations are quite rare. Are you out looking for a job? And by the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the number. So many individuals are out looking for work, and the working environment has changed quite a bit. I can remember telling many clients, oh, a good 20 years ago, that a lot of jobs that were available that you could plan on, certain industries, were basically not going to be there. I remember telling people that had government jobs, don't think this is going to last forever. It's not. There's going to be a major change. And here we are, 20 years later, going through a technological shift and a lot of jobs that people could depend on for 30, 40 years working in, they've disappeared. Technology, often it's called disruptive technology, has created the shift and change. Is this good? Is it bad? I can't say that it's too much of either. It is change, and so adaptability is important. Well, that's what's going on today. A lot of jobs that were considered necessary. I think of Baskin and Robbins that I remember doing an interview for years ago. And when I went in for the interview, they had an entire complex of people that were labeled as secretaries. And all they did was process dictation. And today, now you have software. You don't have to have a secretary. You can dictate right into your machine. You may need to have someone edit it, but really, you don't have to have someone there typing it for you. So technology has created some changes. The secretarial circles basically have disappeared. They're no longer there. You have all kinds of different environments. The temporary office environment has the office positioning placements. Those have changed dramatically. Have they gone away totally? No, but they've changed. So if you're looking for a job, here are some tips from some various people. One, you need to know about a couple of job sites, and perhaps you already know of these. One is called Indeed, Indeed.com, and SimplyHired.com. Now, Rick Gillis is a man that deals with job searching quite a bit. He said 95% of job postings are there. And while there are a lot of other sites that will show positions that have already been filled called ghost listings, these two sites, Indeed.com and SimplyHired.com, show only the newest relevant postings. And you hit the advanced search option and type in your location. And the recommendation is that you set parameters. For example, if you want to be close to work, if you don't want to have to travel more than 20 miles, put that in. And be aware that these are things you need to think about. What is it that you really want to be considered? What is it that's most important to you? Also, networking with people has a very significant positioning. Most jobs are filled by people from the inside of a company or an organization, or by someone that another person has known for a long time that they would highly recommend. And what is said by a job pro, Dondi Fumachi, is that you think of it like three circles, A, B, and C. Your A list is your inner circle, and that's your friends and your fellow colleagues. They might know someone that can help you. Your B list is your acquaintances, let's say your neighbor, or maybe you know a checker at the grocery store, whatever, you let them know. And your C list, they're the people you would love to introduce yourself to. And you can send a message via LinkedIn or send an email with an article you think would interest them, asking them a question about their work. In other words, let people know you're looking for work, for heaven's sake. You just never know what's going to happen for you. You just don't know. And another thing, if you're out of work, don't be hesitant about maybe interning with somebody. That's right. Intern with someone that, if let's say you've had an interest in flowers. You have always thought, oh, I'd love to be a florist. Okay. Well, volunteer your time. Go into your local forest and say, could you use someone to help you out just on the weekends or whatever? I'm wanting to see if I would like being in this industry. Would you let me help you? You don't have to pay me a penny. You'd be amazed at how many jobs people get. If you show how good a worker you are, and who knows, maybe you don't want to have anything to do with flowers, but at least you've made an inquiry. Step out of your norm. It can make a difference. Also, becoming a member of a professional organization can really help. But if you don't have the budget, then volunteer. I had a friend that wanted to really get involved in theater in Seattle, and she found that she could work as a volunteer usher. And she said the big benefit was, number one, she was able to go to all the operas, but number two, and all the other performances that were being done at the major theater in Seattle, but she said, number two, I found out by talking and communicating with different people in different positionings what I didn't like and what I liked. She said it was wonderful. So she said, I volunteered my time. True, I didn't make any money, but she said I got free tickets. I was able sometimes to trade those tickets with someone else to barter for something. She said it was great. She said, I just absolutely loved it. Now, she didn't do that forever because eventually she went to work for a theater in another city. She got a wonderful job, but she had been involved with this environment long enough where someone said, gee, you know the back side of this, which we really need somebody that can understand what has to be taken care of. And she did it. And Jeannie's just doing beautifully today. She's got a fabulous job. She's working in an office of a theater. It's absolutely great. Also, you want to update your resume. And you want to think about the words that you use in it. And you want to be yourself. But remember, your attire makes a difference. And you can send an old-fashioned letter. Have you ever thought of that? And do you know what they say? They say, if you Email your resume. You should also send a certified letter to the hiring manager. 90% of certified mail gets opened by the person it's addressed to instead of an assistant. That's thoughtful. It helps get your resume up the ladder into the hiring manager's hands. Why? Because you took the opportunity to pay extra to say, I want time with you. Now, will it work 100% of the time? Who knows? Until you try. Check it out. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Summertime is time for light eating, but it doesn't mean it has to be boring eating. And I've got a delicious recipe here for a mango avocado and spinach salad. And, of course, the dressing is what really makes this yummy. It's a poppy seed dressing. I have a very dear friend, Robert, and he used to say he always liked a little salad with his dressing. We used to laugh at how he would almost make a salad soup because he'd put dressing on it. And one of his favorites was blue cheese dressing, and he really liked the real stuff. But he said, oh, I just love dressing. Well, that is sort of how this is, but it's not going to end up being a soupy salad because of too much dressing. But it really adds, it's light, but it's deliciously flavorful with sort of a sweet kind of a spicy flavor. So let me share this with you because the dressing, I think, the salad itself is delicious, but the dressing just brings a magic to it. So let me give you the ingredients for the dressing. You're going to need 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1/4 cup, and you're going to need 2 tablespoons of freshly squeezed lime juice. Don't use the bottled, please. Use the fresh. 1 tablespoon of poppy seeds, 2 teaspoons of honey, 1 teaspoon of cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, and just a wee bit, unless you like a real kick to it, like 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, less if you're not into spices. A little bit of salt, and of course, pepper, salt and pepper to your taste. Now, the salad itself is, you need 2 large mangoes. It needs to be seeded, peeled, fresh cut into, let's say, 1/2-inch cubes. You don't want great big pieces of mango. You're going to do that, so you need to do that to 2 of them. You need 2 ripe avocados, and of course, you're going to pit it, and you're going to peel it and cut it into little cubes. You're going to need 1/2 cup of fresh cilantro, and you just coarsely chop that. This I really like, 1 cup of shelled pistachios. And if they're lightly toasted, that's great. Or you could use walnuts, you could use almonds, whatever is the favorite nut of choice. Pistachios have a deliciously wonderful flavor, so it's got a creamy taste to it, so it really goes nicely with the avocados. You're going to need 1 package of fresh baby spinach, and then the grated zest of one lime. Now, this is how easy it is. It just takes minutes. I think the most amount of time you're going to spend with this is cutting up the mangoes, because they can be a bear. Your dressing, your oil, lime juice, poppy seeds, honey, vinegar, mustard, and cayenne, put them in a jar and a blender, and zip it in the blender really fast, and just add salt and pepper to taste, or don't even put salt and pepper in it, and let people add their own salt and pepper. The salad, your mangoes, avocado, cilantro, and half of the pistachios in a medium bowl. Now, you want to add all of your dressing to that. Toss it well to coat. And then, when you go to serve it, you put your spinach in a large serving bowl, top with the mango-avocado mixture. You toss it gently until it's combined. Sprinkle it with the lime zest and remaining pistachios, and serve it. Yum. Now, this is for six people, but I'll tell you what, it makes a very nice meal for, depending on the appetite, 2 to 3 people. Serve it with freshly baked bread, oh, good sourdough, wonderful butter, your favorite preserves, and of course, you could always add a delicious dessert to go along with it. But that is an awesome salad, and the mix, the dressing really, really makes it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. What if we have, and it is coming, believe it or not, organs made in a lab? Now, many years ago, in fact, in the year 2000, actually before 2000, in the late 1990s, there was a program called Beyond 2000 on television. And this particular program, the staff went around the world talking with doctors and scientists about innovations that would be coming forth. And in that programming, they talked about creating ears, artificial ears. And they showed, I believe it was a little girl. For some reason, there had been an accident or she had been born deformed, and there was nothing for an ear. Now, one ear was perfectly natural and the other was not. It was non-existent for all intents and purposes. Well, they created an artificial ear using her own cells and growing them on the back of, I think it was a rat. Now, they were able to remove that ear from the back of the rat and not kill the rat or harm the rat in any way. And it was totally harmonious with this child's body. And you would never know that it was an artificial ear. Well, I was sent by Faye in Virginia some information on this that was just recently brought out. In fact, it was brought out in June. And they are developing, now this, remember, what I told you about with this child's ear was back in the late 1990s. Well, I've got in front of me, because of what Faye sent me, all of this information on how a little girl by the name of Angela in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, 2 years ago, she needed a crucial blood vessel, and they were able to build her one by using cells from her own bone marrow. Now, at Wake Forest University, there's a Dr. Anthony Atala, who, there's a photo of him holding the scaffolding for a human kidney. And remember I mentioned the 3D issue earlier about being able to make your own medicine at home? Well, this is scaffolding for a kidney made from someone's own cells. What a phenomenal benefit this will be. Replacement ears, I mentioned to you just a moment ago, noses, pig kidneys are being used for some of this. Experimental bladders are being given to people that otherwise would have to live without them. So much is evolving, and I'll have more on this for you on another show because I know we're just about out of time. This is Donna Sebo. I want to thank you so much for being with me. We've got a great lineup of people that are going to be with us. As always, I invite you to tell your friends about the show, and won't you join me? Because you never know what you're going to hear about here on the Donna Sebo Show that may be able to touch your life in a very special way. But also, you'll be able to pass along that knowledge and information to those that you love. And maybe, who knows, even a perfect stranger. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a magnificent weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.